Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis today, and perhaps it's at least a crazy chaser and maybe even a second crazy martini, which means we really have four today. We should also tell you we're sponsored by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without all those expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe Home Security. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And Jim, we start with the good martini, and we're back to Trump executive orders. Orders not only that deal with the building of the wall and also looking at ways to remove federal funding from so-called sanctuary cities, which protect illegal alien immigrants, even ones that have committed crimes in the United States. And we'll get to that in more detail later in the Three Martini Lunch. But one of the things that Trump said yesterday in his visit to the Department of Homeland Security was simply that, hey, we've got these laws on the books. How about we enforce them?
This is a law enforcement agency. But for too long, your officers and agents haven't been allowed to properly do their jobs. You know that, right? Do you know that? Absolutely. But that's all about to change. And I'm very happy about it, and you're very happy about it. From here on out, I'm asking all of you to enforce the laws of the United States of America. They will be enforced and enforced strongly.
Jim, obviously some things are going to be more controversial than others in the Trump administration agenda here on immigration, but enforcing the laws that already exist shouldn't be that controversial.
Yeah, I think what I like best about this, Greg, is that this is sort of a shot across the bow of these cities. And, you know, by the way, where I'm standing right now, Fairfax County, I find out, is a sanctuary county. Unsurprisingly, most of these sanctuary cities and counties and communities are in deep blue parts of the country. What I don't quite get is that when you have someone who is convicted of a violent crime, I can almost understand the touchy-feely, you know, local town council or city council that's like, oh, we don't want to deport these perfectly good people who have done nothing but wrong but come to this country illegally, which is, you know, a crime. Once you get into a violent criminal, that I don't understand why you wouldn't cooperate with federal law enforcement in these other things, in these other cases. Back during – this may have been, you know, we look back, the shooting of Catherine Steinle in San Francisco might have been a really key moment in the Trump campaign, because it kind of was this, you know, fascinating example of a illegal immigrant from Mexico, previously had been deported on five different occasions. And was, you know, a obviously gravitated to San Francisco, knowing that it was a sanctuary city and knowing that local police were not going to cooperate with immigration authorities. Now, this is not the valedictorian. This is not a dreamer kid. This is not some inspiring good American who's, you know, come across the border or something. No. This guy had seven felony convictions. Okay, he was on probation in Texas at the time of the shooting. Drug charges, heroin possession, manufacturing narcotics, did jail time. And this was not a guy who needed to be in the United States. This was not a guy who had a right to be in the United States. And these sorts of guys should not be protected by sanctuary cities. And if you're a sanctuary city, you got to be looking at your policies and saying, okay, wait, we're doing it because we don't want to deport Manuel the busboy. But what do you want to do about the Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez? What do you want to do about these kinds of guys? Because they're the ones who are going to benefit from your policy, too. At the very least, I'd like to see these counties and cities saying, all right, Trump administration, message received. We're going to start instructing our police forces to cooperate with federal authorities on immigrants who have committed crimes, serious crimes. You know, I would put DUIs and stuff like that. If you get along with that, then you'll really lessen the outrage at other illegal immigrants. And if your aim is to not have every last illegal immigrant deported, you've got to cooperate on getting rid of the worst of them. So I think the administration is being perfectly reasonable here. We will see I assume there's going to be lots of legal battles over this. But it's you know, this a lot of this stuff is semi-discretionary. And once Sessions is in office as attorney general, he can instruct the department to say, you know what? Maybe you're not going to get any of your grant. Maybe you're going to get 50% of the grant you usually would get. Maybe we're only going to give you a portion of the federal grants because we've decided that your policy is interfering with law enforcement. And you don't have a constitutional right to have those grants and stuff. So that is terrific. Obviously, the beginnings of the construction of the wall is obviously a first step. There's a lot of road ahead. The Congress is going to have to appropriate money for it. But all in all, the ball is starting to roll in the right direction for border security. And look, you know, this has been a very active week for the Trump administration. They are kind of advancing on a whole lot of fronts. And now we see, you know, in the coming years, we're going to get to see hopefully the benefits and the consequences of these changes.
You know, Jim, and you and I are old enough to remember the 80s where the Democrats were portrayed on a daily basis by the right as soft on crime. Bill Clinton tried to change that when he became president. He had the crime bill, which had a lot of problems with it. But that sort of stigma kind of went away. Now Democrats are just not even, like you said, not even willing to stand up against crime in order to make themselves look compassionate and in the process really hurting their own cause and the cause of common sense on this issue. So, in some ways, it's good politically, but it's really stupid in terms of keeping people safe in this country. On to the bad martini now, and on to also the lead item in the morning jolt, Tulsi Gabbard. We mentioned her in the crazy martini a number of days ago because of this cryptic trip she took to Syria and Lebanon. We didn't know much about it at the time. Didn't know exactly who she was going to meet with. A lot of different murky details there, but she's back now, and she was on the lead with Jake Tapper on CNN yesterday, and let's just say her performance was highly disappointing. This is a person, as we've mentioned in the past, on the Democratic side, we've actually gathered some respect for as a result of her service in the Iraq War, her ability to stand up to President Obama when he won't call Islamic extremism what it is. But when it comes to the Assad regime now, Jim, she's starting to look like a puppet. Here's one of the first bizarre things she said.
Whatever you think about President Assad, the fact is that he is the president of Syria. In order for any peace agreement, in order for any possibility of a viable peace agreement to occur, there has to be a conversation with him. The Syrian people will determine his outcome and what happens with their government and their future.
The Syrian people are going to determine if he's still in charge, what she's been watching for the last 5 or 6 years, and even, of course, beyond that. But then Jake Tapper tried to call her on that, saying there aren't free elections in Syria. And this is what he got back.
You said it's going to be up to the Syrian people, but there really aren't free and fair elections in Syria.
I'll tell you what I heard from the Syrian people that I met with, Jake, walking down the streets in Aleppo, in Damascus, hearing from them. They expressed happiness and joy at seeing an American walking through their streets. But they expressed a question. They said, why is it that the United States, its allies and other countries are providing support, are providing arms to terrorist groups like al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, ISIS, who are on the ground there raping, kidnapping, torturing and killing the Syrian people, children, men, women, people of all ages?
Jim, she's right about one thing, and that it's very hard to figure out who any good guys might be in the Syrian conflict. But it's pretty obvious from her comments that she just took the Assad guided tour, and now she's being an effective and essentially a free propagandist for him right now.
Yeah, I went back and looked in our archives, Greg, and not to put you on the hot seat, but back in 2015 at our end of the year awards, category was boldest tactic, and I have written down here, Greg's pick, why in Democratic Congressman Tulsi Gabbard's honesty, criticizing the administration on its ISIS policy and the DNC for how it's running its debates. So I'm going to do my very tongue-in-cheek, way to go, Greg, way to go. But yeah, look, at the time, yeah, that was our take on Tulsi Gabbard. She was impressing us as a Democratic congresswoman who had served in the Iraq War and who had a much tougher, much more clear-eyed, much less credulous perspective of the threats that face the country, and was not afraid to disagree with the Obama administration or her fellow Democrats, and was willing to, you know, everybody else, when everybody else zigged, she was not afraid to zag. Well, now she's zagging in a completely different way. And I, you know, everything she's saying about sympathy for the Syrian people, yes, yes, yes. She goes around and she says people are asking her, why is America supporting the rebels? It wouldn't be because she's hanging around the areas controlled by Assad, would it, Greg?
No.
I mean, you know, do they actually call what? How do you say Potemkin Village in Arabic? look, I'm sure, you know, Yes, the opposition to Assad does include groups like ISIS. It does include groups like the al-Nusra Front, which is basically al-Qaeda. They are bad guys. That doesn't make Assad the good guy. And if you know, most of what she says in that, you know, in that interview with Tapper is all reasonably accurate, but completely missing from it is any sense of, oh, by the way, the guy I met gassed a lot of people. Right. There's no acknowledgement of that. And I, in the jolt, I list off all the different places. I mean, you know, look, whatever you think of Bashar Assad, he's worse. Right. I mean, the human rights abuses even before the civil war were terrible. Typical dictator, police state, people disappearing in the middle of the night. But then since the war began, it's just been constant war crimes, execution of civilians, targeting civilians, chemical weapon. You know, I do think that there are certain people who go beyond the moral pale where I feel comfortable saying the United States of America cannot work with this person, cannot be a functional ally. The enemy of my enemy is not always my friend. And Tulsi Gabbard, you know, may not have come out and said hooray for Assad, but I doubt the Assad regime had too much of a problem with what she was saying on CNN. And it's a really disappointing turn of events for somebody who we saw as a real breath of fresh air on the other side.
Tulsi Gabbard didn't even need SimpliSafe cameras in Aleppo. She had TV footage from Damascus and Aleppo and all these other places where people were obviously being hit with weapons of mass destruction and civilians being directly and deliberately targeted and all sorts of things. Doesn't mean there's not evil people on the other side and it's not just a complete mess all the way around. But to defend Assad the way she did is clearly insane. So speaking of SimpliSafe, you might know that in early January, the Consumer Electronics Show wrapped up in Vegas. The CES is, of course, one of the most looked forward to trade shows of the year. All the big tech companies unveil their newest innovations. It's really like seeing the future in front of your eyes.
Our sponsor, SimpliSafe Home Security, was there, and they had one of the most talked about products at the Consumer Electronics Show. It is the new SimpliSafe security camera, which connects to the sensors in your alarm system so that if an intruder tries to break in, the camera will automatically start recording. Then, not only will your SimpliSafe system call the police, but you'll have actual evidence. When the police arrive, you can say, here's the guy, go get him. It is truly incredible.
You can check in at home anytime, no matter where you are. Just live stream HD footage directly to your smartphone. So, plus, with SimpliSafe, there are never any expensive long-term contracts. If you want to see for yourself what SimpliSafe's brilliant technology can do for the security of your home, visit simplisafe.com/ricochet. That's SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. You'll even get the special 10% discount. That's only, though, at simplisafe.com/ricochet. All right, Jim, on to our crazy martini now and back to the immigration issue. As we could expect, because we've seen this argument from Democrats before, when Trump says he wants to enforce immigration laws, when he wants to crack down on sanctuary cities, the Democratic mayors of sanctuary cities go crazy and blur the lines on what's actually being done and being debated here, most specifically between legal and illegal immigration. You've got the mayor of Philadelphia tweeting out about how the city of brotherly love and sisterly kindness or something is has its arms open for everyone. Boston lit up its city hall in red, white, and blue saying all are welcome. And then you've got New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with this gem.
And if there is a move to deport immigrants, I say then start with me, because I am the son of Mario Cuomo, the son of Andrea Cuomo, a poor Italian immigrant who came to this country without a job, without money, without resources, and he was here only for the promise of America. And if we're going to question immigrants and deport immigrants, then who is safe and who is left? Because we are all immigrants.
No, you're the grandson of an immigrant, as are many of us. Jim, as I just said before the clip, the Democrats have this complete inability to distinguish, at least honestly, between legal and illegal immigration. And they think that if you get here, no matter how you get here, that there's not consequences for doing it the wrong way.
Greg, I had a completely different response to this than you did. look, when Andrew Cuomo extends his hand with a proposal that we can get behind, we need to shake that hand and say, Governor Cuomo, you have a deal. We will begin with you. Send him. Technically, he was born in Queens, New York, but it seems from his statement, he's saying he's fine with being deported or exiled to Italy. I realize the Italians may not be happy with this, but you know what? You're on, Governor. This works for me. You volunteered. Stop complaining. And I'm not sure he understands what immigrant means, because it's not like the proposal is we're sending back grandchildren of immigrants, because then a lot of us would be in trouble. And the other thing is, as you point out accurately, that the entire strategy from the Democrats is to blur the line between legal immigrants and illegal immigrants. And look, it's not like all legal immigrants speak with one voice, but there are more than a few of them who say this. Hey, you know, I stood online. I filled out all the proper paperwork. I abided by all the rules. I provided all the necessary background equipment, took the citizen. You know, they went through all the process, and they became either, you know, permanent residents, green card holders, citizens. And then there are other people who just walk across the border, or some people who come here on a tourist visa or temporary visa and just decide to just stay. That's, you know, like, why is it fair for us to see them the same? Shouldn't we reward the people who obey the law and do what they're supposed to? And shouldn't we punish the people who break the law? So if it sounds like Governor Cuomo really wants to have at this policy and really attack it. But under his proposal, Greg, we're not going to have to worry about him that long.
That's right.
One of those problems that solves itself.
Oh, that'd be hilarious if Trump took him up on it, even as a practical joke. All right.
Plane tickets right here, Governor.
That's right.
Pack your bags.
It's a very special edition of the Three Martini Lunch today, because we really got a fourth one here in the crazy. Jim, whether you look at what's successful in entertainment, successful in business, successful in politics, or really any arena, if you do something different and it works, heck, look at the movies. This is a perfect example. If it works, people will copy it and copy it to death. So Donald Trump tries a completely new way of approaching politics. Everyone says it's not going to work. It works. So, of course, now everyone's going to try and copy it. And at least it's starting up in Canada with a name that I think a lot of our listeners and certainly TV viewers are going to know. Kevin O'Leary. Kevin O'Leary is probably the most annoying and combative member of the Shark Tank on ABC. For those of you who don't watch the show on Friday nights, here's a quick montage of how he treats some of his guests when he's not particularly impressed with their presentations.
If you were in one of my business school classes, I would spray you down with water, and every time you say, I don't know, I'd hit you with an electric cattle prod.
In the context of the guitar industry, you're a nothing burger still.
There is no tomorrow. You're dead to me when you say no to my deal. You're dead. You're gone. I don't even know who you are. You're a vapor.
Thank you, I thank you, but I'll say this.
What are you thanking me for? Opportunity knocked? No one was home. Turn around. Get out of here.
So you can tell he's got kind of an abrupt personality, kind of like our new president. This is from the Toronto Star. Kevin O'Leary is far and away the front runner for the conservative leadership as the opposition party gains slightly on the Liberals and overall voter preference, according to a new poll. O'Leary, the celebrity businessman who entered the Tory leadership race last week after months of signaling a potential campaign, is the top choice to lead the party for 27% of poll respondents. The survey found he had more than twice the support of the runner-up in the poll, who was at 11%. However, when just conservatives were polled, he's at 50%, and somebody else is at 21%. Meanwhile, in the party poll, the Liberals are still ahead at 42%, but the conservatives are up to 36% from 34%. Not exactly sure when the next elections are, but Justin Trudeau's performance as prime minister is only getting 48% approval. So, Jim, the numbers are close enough up there that this is not out of the question, especially considering what we saw with Trump.
You know, Greg, people are scoffing. This guy is completely unqualified. And I point out that, look, I actually think he could be better, particularly regarding Canada's foreign policy, than everybody's expecting. After all, he's already demonstrated he knows how to work with a Cuban.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we great. We're the national trendsetter or international trendsetter. Yeah. Or weren't Canadians supposed to be polite? Wasn't the joke you step on their toe and they say, oh, I'm sorry?
Oh, man, you can get Geert Wilders and Nigel Farage down the road. Who knows what's all going to happen. But
the UN meeting is going to look like a celebrity apprentice.
What celebrity will be the next Mexican president? Because North America is clearly going this route. Jim? Can't make this stuff up. You are off the next couple of episodes, so we'll see you Tuesday.
I will see you Tuesday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Tune in on Friday, though. We'll have another edition of the 3-Martini Lunch. And also remember to visit our friends at Simply Safe Home Security and take a look at their Simply Safe security camera, simplysafe.com/ricochet.